Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today, we're talking last-minute tax tips, new job fever, and a food waste fix.
That's right. Welcome to How to Money, the personal finance podcast, where, well, specifically on Fridays, we talk about the biggest headlines out there, the biggest stories that specifically tie to how it is that you are able to earn, save, and spend your money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's Friday.
I thought you were going to say the personal finance podcast that puts all other personal finance podcasts to shame.
To shame. No.
There's other good ones out there.
This is, if you're new to the podcast, this is what we do on Fridays. We talk about, yeah.
If you saw Matt on Joe Rogan and now you're following the show, that didn't happen.
Definitely did not happen. But yeah, man, we survived the week. We survived the solar eclipse. Hopefully you did. Hopefully you weren't sneaking a peek in order to catch a glimpse.
Some people reporting eye problems after the fact because I guess they did.
Of course.
Can obey the guidelines to not stare at the sun, which is ill-advised.
Did you see the girl just right across the street
from where we work? Yeah,
who was selling the solar eclipse glasses?
I love it. Entrepreneurship, right in our neck of the woods. Little girl, like crushing it. She posted on Facebook, even.
Oh, really?
I saw it in the neighborhood group.
Oh, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
are you in like the neighborhood group here?
Yeah.
Like, were we in this neighborhood?
Well, it's just our little city, small town.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's
funny.
So she posted in there, hey, got all the eclipse glasses over here. Come buy them. And I know
you don't only go to the How to Money Facebook group, you two timer.
Only Facebook groups. I go to other Facebook groups, okay. But yeah, it's mostly just our own. But I love that she did this. I'm curious to know how much money she make. I will say, I bet I can get the leftovers for pennies on the dollar.
I know. So you and I, we actually stepped outside during the solar eclipse. And I was like, I wonder if we can run over there and get them half off.
Yeah.
in preparation. Nobody else is going to buy them.
In preparation, right? For what? Like 20 years from now? Is that when the next eclipse is going to happen?
My daughter said that she would be 31. So
yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
That's crazy.
We've got ways to go.
Well, congrats to her. And anyway, like I love it when my own kids do this. They get a wild hair to make some money. I always want to support them and help them in that endeavor, whether it's like a lemonade stand, creating art, selling it to neighbors who are walking around. This is something we should be encouraging young folks to participate in. Working for the man is just fine, but if you get the bug, and it's a great way to kind of test the waters when you're a kid, just start something on the side.
Encourage those entrepreneurial endeavors. It does make me wonder, like, it seems that I am predisposed to be self-employed, essentially, and I sold a lot of golf balls as a kid in Augusta, and so I don't know how much of that actually does have an impact. I'm curious for other listeners out there who might be self-employed, who might own their own business. Did you have a job as a kid? Actually, reach out to us. I'd be very curious to know. Obviously, this is I don't know, what's the term? Positively selecting. Yeah. There's some sort of bias involved here in the way we're gathering this information. But I would truly be totally interested in hearing your story.
Agreed.
But
you can always reach out, howtomoneypod@gmail.com. If you have a question or if you have a comment or you want to answer Matt's question.
We like reading those emails.
That's right. All right, Matt, let's move on to the Friday flight. And first off, let's talk about taxes. Procrastinators, Matt, they don't have much time left to finish their taxes. I will include myself in that bunch. Some of my tax forms don't come in till like mid-March.
Well, you haven't filed yet?
No.
Joel!
I know. Well, no, I work with a tax professional because...
You going to file an extension?
Probably.
Okay.
I just emailed her today, so we'll see. I'll let you know. So myself included.
Oh, goodness.
Get on it, you guys.
Literally, no judgment. It's yeah.
She got all my forms.
A lot of stuff to get in.
Multiple weeks ago. Okay, so I got all my last stuff in. Took me a week to gather everything together, send it over, but... She's got the info now.
Good.
We'll make it happen. But if you have not finished things up, Monday is your deadline, or you have to file an extension like I might also have to do. We'll see. And so, yeah, if you're trying to figure out where do I go to file my taxes, that is a question a lot of people have. Matt, we always have a couple recommendations. We like Cash App Taxes because it's free, all the way free. We like Free Tax USA, even though it's not all the way free. It's free for federal filing and $15 to file your state tax forms. And so like if you plan on going the DIY route, those are two great services. But of course, hiring a pro, if your situation is a bit more complex, is advisable. The tough thing might be finding someone who can do it within the allotted time period. So you might be
exactly
DIYing it this year. And by the way, you probably want to avoid TurboTax. The Washington Post had a startling article about how they want you to cough up your privacy. And TurboTax, they earn additional revenue by targeting you with ads based on your specific financial situation. And so, yeah, you can decline, but based on all the negative things we've talked about TurboTax on this show in the past, why use them in the first place? There are better options out there. They're the biggest, but it doesn't mean they're the best.
Yeah, that's right. And honestly, I don't know. If you are just now like looking at... See, at least with you, you've like gotten your forms together and you've done the legwork. I feel like folks who are getting all their stuff together right now, this weekend, it feels like folks who are like buying the Valentine's Day balloon or chocolates like at the gas station on the way home. It's just like a last minute Hail Mary. Like maybe this will work.
For sure. And for people who have like non-complex situations.
That's what else I was going to say, because there's, I'm sure, a lot of folks out there who are just like, oh my gosh, Matt's like being super judgy today. I feel like our taxes are crazy complicated, but there are a lot of folks, and literally it's a single sheet, super simple, straightforward. Yeah. It's like a postcard. So, okay, I take it back. It's not that hard. You can do it this weekend. And by the way, even if you owe money and you can't pay it, file your taxes anyway, because completely sticking your head in the sand like an ostrich and not filing altogether, that becomes a much bigger issue than not being able to pay. And if you are like Joel and maybe you are going to end up filing an extension, you still need to pay your estimated tax in order to avoid penalties. And so that's something that's important.
We talked about how those
in mind as well.
Penalties have gone up too, as interest rates have gone up. So yeah, make sure you pay what you think you owe, even if you aren't ready to completely file your taxes and you're filing that extension.
So do you have an idea of what you might be refunded or what you might owe?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I pay quarterly estimated just like you, and I'm pretty sure I'm spot on in that regard.
Nice.
Yeah.
So same.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually kind of bummed because, well, I don't know. Was it? I think a couple months ago, I even said I was like really kind of hoping for a big refund this year because for several reasons that I won't go into.
Didn't pan out that way.
No, I was so bummed, man. It was my federal taxes. I owed $300.
Okay.
So like super spot
That's
on.
Very close.
My tax preparer, she actually was like, "How did you determine, by the way, like what did it, like how did you figure out your estimates?" Because she was wanting to know my like the magic sauce, and I was like, oh, if only you knew how I calculate this with my Excel spreadsheets. but I did get back like $1,200 from the state.
Okay,
so that's, you know, at least I'm not owing a massive amount like I was last year. And by the way, the average refund amount that folks are getting back this year, it's around $3,000. And so for all you folks out there, make sure that you are doing something smart with that money.
At least with the majority of it.
Well, I just think about the fact that something like, is it 60% of American households are living paycheck to paycheck?
Mm-hmm.
When I hear that, it makes me think, okay, I've got a good idea of what you can do with that money. Nothing. Like literally sit on it, park it in your high yield savings and earn that 5%.
Yeah.
And if you're not earning 5%, we've got an article for you that explains how easy it is to switch to an online savings account that is offering a sweet percentage like that.
And it's funny, you said you were kind of rooting to get money back, to get a refund.
I wasn't Well,
the average personal finance person would say, well, that's just a interest-free loan to the federal government, right?
Technically true.
Yeah, and there is truth to that, of course, and that if you had kept that money around and getting paid a little more with every paycheck, funneling that into a savings account, especially into one of these high-yield savings accounts, you would have done better than waiting for the refund. But there's also some truth to the fact, Matt, that it's a great forced method of savings for people, and most people don't encounter a lump sum to quite this extent at any other point in the year. So I kind of like, in some ways, the way tax refunds can work for people as long as they're willing to do the right thing when they get it back in their hands.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Let's talk about working from home, because we've all witnessed the dramatic shift towards working from home. And then the whiplash back in recent months, right? As many businesses, big companies as well, as they have pivoted on their policies and demanded their workers to return.
Oh, you moved to Idaho? Yeah, we're going to need you to come back.
No, seriously. Like, a lot of folks got used to that flexibility. I remember reading stories about grandparents who, like boomers, who are still working, moving closer to their kids so they could be closer to the grandkids, or vice versa, right? Younger families moving to where the childcare, kind of built-in childcare, is in some of those more like retiree cities. It's kind of crazy how, I guess at the time, a lot of folks were writing about how this is the new normal. And we quickly got used to the idea that, all right, things are never going to return to the way that they were. And granted, they may not, but it has reversed course to a large extent. And even if folks stayed local, going back to commuting to work, right? Like, it's an entire lifestyle. That might be a bridge too far. But we've also mentioned how pay and how promotions, those are going to folks who are back in the office more. And we're talking about even just going hybrid, right? Just going in like 2 or 3 days a week. That can have a positive impact on your career, on your earnings. And new data, new numbers from ZipRecruiter proves this. It hammers this home. They've got data that shows that workers who swap from fully remote to fully in-office setups in the U.S. through 2023, they received 29.2% pay bump, nearly 30%. And that's basically double of what those moving the other way, what they experienced.
Yeah.
And so it's just another example, another just more wind at the back of folks who are saying, maybe I should consider going back into the office if that career advancement, getting a pay raise, if that's a priority for you.
You mentioned the commute, and maybe someone says, actually, my commute was an hour and a half each way. That's 3 hours of my life. It's not worth the extra pay I would otherwise get. But this is the reality of the workforce right now, right? In many cases, you can have the flexibility that you want, or the bigger paycheck and the opportunities for advancement. Getting both at the same time is tough to come by, right? And that's not in all cases, but this is the general trend. I mean, the truth is businesses are largely taking the carrot approach, right? They are incentivizing in-person workers with higher pay. I mean, I guess, you know, some businesses are saying come back in or else. That has certainly been the case of some employers. And this is a personal choice, of course. Like, but knowing the trade-offs that you're making is crucial. It's the same kind of trade-off that you have to make if you opt to work less, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. There can be really great reasons to make that decision, but know the ramifications. I think some people might say, I really like the work-life balance I've been able to achieve going back into the office. Non-starter. Like, don't even bring up the topic with me. But other people might say, you know what, I'm especially like if you're younger in your career and you've got the go get 'em attitude, you might say, no, I'm going to find myself going back into the office more because I didn't realize the stakes were that high.
Yeah, and plus there's an element of it that's just fun, right? Like, literally, we are embodied creatures, right? Like, you can't, we're tied to the physical world. And we can't just, like, tap into the matrix, do your knowledge work, which you can do, but then to expect the same kind of fulfillment, I think, from that work than were you to go into the office a few times a week.
I think it also depends on the kind of person and the kind of setup that they have. Because some people, Matt, they find themselves working in their bed, and it can be kind of, that's a tough setup, too. Or let's say you're like, let me get some laundry done and clean the kitchen.
I totally agree. I think it leads to poor outcomes.
Not for everyone. I mean, I think for some people.
Yeah, for some people. But I guess what I'm highlighting, I'm not saying that work is like the panacea. It's not like it's not the solution to every problem here, but it is an outlet for folks to be able to experience some of that in person, some of those in IRL hangs. I think that's not something to completely dismiss.
And for better or worse, it is one of the number one places we find community these days.
Yeah. Also, the job market, man, it is in constant flux. There's a lot of questions as to, like, maybe what the future of work is going to look like, but we have been in a pretty tight labor market for some time now, with the unemployment rate still hanging out below 4%. It could actually get even tighter, as resume.com, they find that 1 in 8 retirees are planning to return to the workforce in 2024. They are, quote unquote, unretiring.
My grandma just turned 93, Matt. I told her to go get her job.
get back out there, grandma. Well, literally the rising cost of living, like that's cited as the main reason to secure a steady paycheck again. And I think it's going to be easier than it normally is to land a job because employers, they are so desperate for talent. So I think kudos to the 65 and over crowd for getting back out there. I think a part-time job in those years can provide some meaning, but also, again, that in-person connection, it can help you to stretch those retirement funds a good bit further as well. And I think more than anything else, I think there's a problem because I feel like going back to work, it almost feels like a failure. It's like, man, I did a crappy job at setting aside enough work, and I want us to shift the narrative.
You mean setting aside enough money?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Work.
Work. No, setting aside enough money for retirement. And so, I don't know. I just want us to have a more dynamic relationship with the work that we're able to provide. Yeah. I think historically we've had too much of like a black and white picture of what retirement looked like. It's basically like you are going to work this job that you hate, and all of a sudden, at a certain point, then you're going to be able to relax and do something you love.
As opposed to the beach.
Yeah, as opposed to like a metaphor. And it made me think of coffee. And when I first got into coffee, I started grinding my beans at home. Because, of course, that's how you make good coffee at home, right? The way that you grind your beans is using a little spice grinder. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You drop them on top, you put the cap on, and then you just hit go. And you just cross your fingers. Who knows what's going to happen, but you know your beans are going to get chopped up. And it didn't necessarily lead to the best quality coffee. But guess what you can do now? You can buy these burr grinders, and you can dial it in, man. Like, you can choose the size of grind that you want. And I think that's how we should think about work. There are so many additional opportunities for folks to choose the type of work that they want. It's not like, I think there are very few communities where the coal mine or the factory or the mill is like the sole employer for an entire town. There are so many part-time gigs, virtual work. There are just opportunities, I think, to make money, perhaps more than what folks are willing to acknowledge that's out there. That's all.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I don't see it as a sign of failure at all. And I think recognizing that earlier in your retirement years that, wait a second, this money isn't going to last as long as I thought. Or, you know what, I am missing some of that connection. I think it can help right the ship earlier on. And I think it's becoming so commonplace now. It's not like you have to explain to your family and friends, oh, this is why I'm going back. I think most people understand there are a slew of reasons where folks who have bag work, they decide to go back to work. There's a lot of like good cause to do that and go in that direction. So
totally.
No shame in that game.
Nope.
It's not just our parents' generation, by the way, that's interested in getting a new job. I was shocked to see this stat, Matt, from Monster.com's Work Watch report. They found that 95% of workers want a new job right now. And I was like, I get that a lot of people want a new job or want something better, maybe. But 95%? Like, that's crazy. 19 out of 20 folks really want a new job. And again, you got to take this with like a grain of salt because Monster.com is a place where you search for jobs. And so they want everyone to feel like, hey, everybody's doing it. Go ahead, search for a new job. Everyone is. And so I guess what this reveals is that somehow nobody likes their current job and everybody wants something better. In some ways, I think that that is totally fine. But you also have to realize the grass isn't always greener on the other side, although the pay might be higher on the other side, which is definitely something to take into consideration. ADP, the payroll company, they noted this week that the pay gap between staying put and going on to get a different job is growing again. It was really wide there at the height of the job market insanity, and it seemed to kind of calm down. And now if you switch jobs, you're going to get on average like a 10%+ pay bump. And if you stay put, you're going to get about a 5% pay bump. So that can be one reason to mosey on down the road. Maybe it's a better work environment, better work culture, better pay, better benefits. All sorts of things can be true. But I think it's also true that a change of scenery doesn't necessarily fix all of your problems that you might have with work.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. One last story to cover on the work front, on the job front today, because we don't want folks to worry too much about all the retirees who are coming back to work or all the job hunters out there that got the fever. There's a new analysis from MIT, and they find that 6 in 10 jobs currently in existence, that they weren't even a thing back in 1940. And on one hand, this kind of makes sense, but it's also kind of shocking. Like, for instance, an airline designer, like that wasn't a recognized job category until 1950, I guess, when they needed not just the engineers making the planes.
Not just two brothers on a beach in North Carolina.
Yeah. It makes me think about like our like podcasting. Is that actually still a recognized job category? I'm not sure if it
Doubtful.
Is. But this is just a reminder that we don't know what the jobs of tomorrow are going to be. And so we would recommend for folks just to constantly be thinking about the kind of work that they're doing and how, like, what you're learning as well. Like, we want folks out there to build skills, build a network, and I think you'll find that you can more easily adapt to some of the different job market changes and some of the different trends that you might see entire industries going in and out of.
Yeah.
Basically, you got to be like Bruce Lee. Didn't he say, like, be like water or whatever? you want to be adaptable.
Yeah, you got to be adaptable.
Okay.
A chameleon of sorts. All right, we've got more to get to on this episode, including an Amazon endeavor that's biting the dust. We'll talk about that and more right after this.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Let's continue with our Friday flight, Joel. And of course, you know, we've got our ludicrous headline of the week. And this one is from Axios. And the headline reads, Vero Bank's new line of credit will cost you $400. This is, Vero, I don't know if folks, they weren't necessarily on our radar. They were one of the newer, I guess, neobanks. They're at it again. They're shelling out a product that looks decent on the surface, but technically, like, once you actually dig in a little bit, it's rotten underneath.
Oh, sounds so good in the marketing material, though.
Yeah, exactly. They're touting that you can borrow up to $2,000 at any time and just pay an affordable fee and 0% APR. All right. It's like a backup to your emergency fund. Like, I want to always have $2,000 at my disposal to
sounds
do
so
whatever
sweet.
I want with.
What a great product. Thanks, Vero.
It's not a great product in reality. The quote-unquote affordable fee to nab that $2,000 is $400, which doesn't sound affordable in the least.
It's a lot of money.
So you end up paying the fee up front, and you can't pay off the loan early. And so that 0% APR, it ends up becoming something more like 35% in interest.
If you treated the fee like an interest rate, essentially.
Yeah. And so we wanted to put this out there because from what I could tell, it seemed like Vero, they've got a pretty sweet app. It's well-reviewed. It seems like some of their savings offerings are pretty decent, but be careful what lending products you choose, because they might sound great, but the fine print can get you. And
yeah, personal loan would be way better than this. Like,
yes. Well, and to their defense, they're like, well, we're trying to create a product out there that is clear and transparent and it's upfront. And you know what else is upfront and pretty straightforward? Like payday loans, but that doesn't make it a good product. And so I don't know if I want to completely bash on Vero, because I think they might be offering something decent out there for folks. But I think they're counting on the fact that they might have a decent reputation and a well-reviewed app to slide in this crappy financial product, something that is like borderline predatory, and we want you to stay away from it.
Yeah, no way I'm ever going to consider something like paying $400 to access $2,000 in debt. Like, that doesn't make
any sense.
All right, another warning. While we're issuing warnings, Matt, well, let's talk about car app scams. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, just issued a warning about that this past week. And so, like, basically, these car app scams are when you get an email or a text, and they're purporting something that's, of course, too good to be true. $500 or more each week for wrapping your car with an advertisement. Hey, once you get paid, just to drive around. It's pretty sweet. You don't have to ferry passengers. It's just the advertisement on the outside of your car, which sounds so nice. But of course, it's not based in reality. The catch is when you get sent a check to deposit in your account in order to pay the wrap installer, right? So they say, hey, here's this like $1,500 check. Now you can go ahead and pay the person to put the wrap on your car. Well, the scam is that you pay the installer your hard-earned dollars, and the check was fake. You find that out days later. By then, your money is gone, and the bank has clawed back the money that looked like it was deposited in your account. And so if anyone says you need to fork over money to make money, that's always a red flag.
Yep.
Hey, great. Yeah, we'll give you this job, but you have to buy your own supplies. We'll send you a check to cover it. Those checks are usually fake. And the truth is, these car app scams have been happening for many, many years, but real car app companies do exist. I've actually done it.
Yeah, you've got personal experience.
That's right. I had the Salesforce wrap on my Nissan Leaf. It was awesome. Rappify is the only one I know of that's legit. I believe Carvertise is another one that some people have said is a good one. But I also made a few $100 in a month, not $500 a week, Matt. So these people are saying thousands of dollars a month. I'm saying hundreds of dollars a month. Yeah. And there's a big difference there. You might get paid some money to wrap your car and drive around, but you've got to meet a bunch of different requirements. There has to be a campaign in your city, and you've got to go through one of these legitimate companies, when the majority of the companies in this space are fake, they're scamsters.
That's right. Yeah, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Joel, let's talk about consumer appliances, because we've talked on the show about how annoying planned obsolescence can be. We talked about this back in episode 266, actually, and how it is that you can avoid planned obsolescence as much as possible. Well, the Journal, they recently published a story about the premature death of home appliances. They highlighted specific, this is pretty crazy, that Yelp, they have reported that appliance repair calls, that they're up 58% year over year.
Wow.
Which is, it's like a startling number in my mind. And a lot of that is because, similar to new cars, there's more complexity involved with home appliances. There are more moving parts, and that means a higher likelihood of repair needs. So just be careful out there which model you end up going with. I think the best advice we can offer is to keep your old appliances around longer. Maintaining your stuff, maintenance, is way underrated. But that lack of complexity of older models, oftentimes, it works to your advantage.
Less computerized, fewer screens, all that stuff.
And of course, read reviews on a site like Consumer Reports to find which makes and which models have the best predicted reliability. As we haven't even touched on this, but the inflation numbers came back, was it yesterday, a couple days ago, higher than expected. And I also wonder too how much folks are thinking, oh shoot, I can't afford a new one. We just gotta get this one fixed. It almost feels like a canary in the coal mine a little bit. You know, it's like almost like a leading indicator, because when you have something broken at home, if you're flush with cash, what are you gonna do? We're not gonna go through the hassle of getting that thing repaired. But as more folks are feeling their expenses creep up over time, it's like, well, shoot, normally I would have just tossed that coffee grinder. But in fact, I need to get this thing repaired.
Fix it, because it costs less typically.
Yeah.
But one other thing, Matt, just randomly, I don't know why I thought of this, but front-loading washers, I feel like those in particular are bound to have more problems.
It's like a step backwards in the technology, as opposed to, do they make cups that open from the side?
Right. It's
inherently a... seems like a poor design.
We have one at our house because they were there when we bought it, but it's not ideal, I don't think.
You don't like it?
I mean, well, they're not going to last as long, typically, from everything I've read and seen and experienced. And so it's those kind of thing, making those decisions on the front end when you're buying something, buying the cheapest thing isn't probably the best move. You want to buy the thing that, like, for instance, with dishwashers, Bosch dishwashers for some reason take like the top five slots on Consumer Reports reviews. So
German engineering, maybe.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, cool. I guess that's the only dishwasher I'm considering now, even if it means spending a couple $100 more than one of the cheaper counterparts.
Yep.
Because yeah, guess what? You're going to get more life out of the machine and potentially pay less overall from a per use standpoint. All right, let's talk about a failed Amazon experiment. A promised way of shopping just bit the dust. Amazon is doing away with their cashierless stores, which means no picking up your groceries and just walking out anymore. And granted, it's not like these were a dime a dozen, but I was like curious to see this experiment. I was kind of hoping that this technology would take off and would change all our lives and make shopping easier, because nobody likes self-checkout. The company...
I don't mind it. It's not the worst thing.
It's all right. The company said, though, Matt, that technology was driven entirely by computer vision. But what I found interesting was a significant portion of what they call just walk-out sales required manual reviews by a team in India.
Yeah.
This was a team, not just a few people, 1,000 folks watching video to determine how much to charge customers on a huge chunk of their orders. So like this primetime technology was essentially less expensive humans across the globe watching video of people doing their shopping, which is crazy. Smart stores and shopping carts are still being tested, of course, and you know, they just might make shopping more convenient in the future. But this technology, at least right now, wasn't ready for the prime time. And if Amazon can't do it, who can?
I don't understand how this is just not considered a complete scam. Like, it like literally makes me think of Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, where she's like, oh, you got this thing, this magic box, and it does this thing. Well, actually, it turns out it doesn't, and you're just making up the results. So that's essentially what they're doing. It makes me think of, like, The Wizard of Oz, where it's just like, oh, the Great Oz, but really, it's like this dude pulling all these levers, and it's not magic at all. There's no, like, special proprietary technology.
It's special effects.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. By the way, we're talking about shopping, but shout out to all the peeps on the West Coast, because 99-cent only stores, they announced that they're going away. I think the liquidation sales started late last week.
If we drank a beer on the Friday flights, I'd
pour one out for 99 cents only. But there is an investor who is talking about maybe buying the chain, keeping it alive. They've got a cult following, evidently, out west. This is all new to me because I've never been into a 99-cent only store, but our friend
Joel, who works with us on howtomoney.com, he reached out to me right when this news broke. He like tear-faced emoji. He's like, this is my go-to place for so many groceries. I'm going to have to up my grocery budget.
Yeah, well, between Aldi and Lidl, maybe they've got it figured out, but I don't know. The more competition, typically, the better.
Yeah.
And we're sad to see another low-cost retailer like that bite the dust.
Yeah, exactly. And you're spot on. Like, it's not just that this store, which prioritized low costs, is going out of business. It's that it reduces the competition in the space, meaning other retailers can raise their prices more than they otherwise were able to when 99 cents only was still in business.
Get my favorite retailer's name out your mouth, Joel.
What did I say? What?
You're saying that Aldi's going to raise their prices?
No. I'm just saying, like, even if there's no Aldi in the neighborhood, all the other grocery stores, they were freaked out by 99 cents only because it kept prices at bay.
Oh, totally.
In their stores, too. And they weren't able to reap as high profits as they would like to, and now they might be able to. But maybe not. Maybe this investor will keep 99 cents only alive. We're hoping. By the way, since we're talking about groceries, how many times have you thrown something out because of the date listed on that food item?
Never.
Never.
No wasted food over here, man.
Look at you. You are
Mr. Leftovers.
Very good about food waste, I will say. Better than I am. But my guess is for most people, Matt, the answer is a lot. Like they saw the date on the packaging and they said, it's not good anymore. They didn't even smell it. They tossed it.
It's over a third now of all groceries that goes to waste from not being used because it goes bad.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like, I think it's literally right at 40% these days.
So it's literally the number one cost in your grocery budget.
Yep. Is you literally not eating the food because it's sat around for too long.
And sometimes it's just because, we went out to eat instead. And think about what that's doing to your grocery budget. So it's a massive problem. I think part of the problem is dates can be confusing, the dates on the packaging. But there's a new bill trying to provide some clarity in hopes that we can all waste less food, because there's essentially been zero regulation of the Best Buy labels. Some stores were trying to do something like Kroger to incentivize the producers to create a better system, but that ended up kind of falling on its face. And this is the solution that they're proposing is to have two dates on the packaging, a best if used by and a used by date, right? So that would help us know the optimal freshness of eating or drinking something, and then knowing when the item is truly not consumable any longer. I kind of like this. I like, why not have two dates? Why not have just better information on the packaging for people, because we have the one date? And even if it's a lot of times it is a Best Buy, it doesn't mean that it's trashed, but people trash it anyway. And I think that does result in more food waste than we'd otherwise have.
Yeah, I bet you know how I feel about this.
You probably don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it. Because there's a judgment call involved, because who is the one that gets to decide if this is actually suboptimal, you know, that it's best used by? But I'm the one who decides whether or not I get botulism or not, you know, like it's not up to a company. But I'm afraid that something like this could potentially lead to more food waste, because someone just looks at the date and they don't give it the sniff test. They're not like, because folks, when you put put dates on labels, there's liability there, because you are now saying that beyond that date, this food is no longer good. And so I think manufacturers, food preparers, whoever, they're going to err on the side of being safer than sorry.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
That's the part that where I'm just like, just give it the old sniff test, you know, like, you know, whether it's leftovers, whether it's something you haven't opened yet. If the can is bulging in your pantry, yeah, you might want to
Can I tell you what the best solution is?
Skip out on that one. What's
getting chickens. We just got backyard chickens.
Oh, that's right, we haven't talked about this.
We haven't. So that happened just literally last week on spring break, and we have a nice little brood of chickens in our backyard.
Gaggle.
And you know, it has made me feel so much better about us not eating every single thing that goes into our fridge, because those things
somehow magically gets transformed into eggs.
That's right. It's so awesome. So it's been so fun to scrape plates, scrape the food off our plates at the end of dinner into this like one little bucket that we're going to feed the chickens with. And so, yeah, if you're like, find yourself wasting too much food, get some chickens, you'll get some eggs, you'll get
and who doesn't like eggs?
Some fun pets. They are pets. And then you also get to waste less food.
Okay, we're talking about labels on food, potentially used by date. And of course, there are nutrition labels on the food that we buy. But what about the equivalent for the internet? Well, the FCC, they are making it mandatory for providers to outline prices and fees in a similar style layout. It's got the, I mean, literally,
it looks like a nutrition,
it looks like
label.
A nutrition label, except that it's internet information.
It's like telling you which fees are
the rates, the fees, the promotional periods,
renting of the modem, that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. I think this should make comparison shopping a bit easier for folks. And this I actually can get behind, because there's no sort of judgment call. There's no qualitative decision making, right? Like it's hard to lie when it comes to you can lie when it comes to numbers, but when you are looking at like hard numbers like fees or data caps, things like that,
this is
it's
going
to make it a whole lot easier to compare things.
This is all about transparency in a part of the economy where there's not a whole lot of transparency. What is the promotion? How long does it last? Am I paying to rent this modem or am I not? It's hard sometimes for consumers to compare apples to apples when it comes to internet pricing. So I do think this is going to be good. You're going to be staring at the exact same thing on two different websites or on promotional materials in the store. Yeah, I think anything that increases transparency and your ability to shop effectively is good.
Yeah, totally. And I think the other part too that makes this good is that they're not mandating, it's not like they're mandating a certain speed, which would then mean the entire industry has to raise prices or something like that. They're just saying, hey, no, this is the information we want you to provide in this format.
Yeah.
I can get behind that delivery of information.
And don't forget, by the way, like Michael talked about on Wednesday's episode, to at least consider some of those 5G providers, because they provide fairly fast home internet. It's really easy to set up, and it just might be cheaper than your other options.
Yeah, leave no rock unturned as you are trying to cut down on your monthly expenses. A quick newsletter referral shout out to a bunch of folks who shared the How to Money newsletter, which comes out every Tuesday morning with all the best money earning, saving, and investing information out there. But shout outs to KDM. I'm going to call this guy Homie King. S. Lamore and Jim up in New York City. Thank you all for referring the newsletter to some friends of yours.
Yeah. And so if you currently subscribe, well, refer the newsletter to friends. You'll get a shout out and other awesome, the opportunity to earn other awesome potential things.
Like a beer on us, which I was thinking about this. With inflation, I feel like we ought to increase the price of, because beer literally costs more. So
maybe we have it at $6 now. We'll raise it to $8.
What if we do that plus like an extra buck for tip?
There you go.
Because right, like typically, if you're going to go out and you're going to buy a beer for somebody, it's like you're paying for.
There you go.
The bartender as well.
We're going to make.
Did we just up it to $9?
I think we did.
Okay. I'm totally fine with that.
That's right. So if you refer more people, more of your friends and family to the newsletter, you'll get paid more when we send you beer money.
The true cost of a beer.
That's
out.
Right.
not just the Aldi beer in a six, in a six pack.
Which, let's be honest, if you like beer, the Aldi beer, the Kirkland Signature beer, it just doesn't cut it. So, all right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll put links to some of the articles we mentioned up in the show notes on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right, buddy. So, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out. They're layers only, right? These aren't broilers.
That's right.
Are y'all going to end up eating the chickens?
No.
too much of an attachment to force the kids through that.
My 10-year-old would weep.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.